This is in the January, 11 months before it ever happened. He sent that cable. A State Department Japanese language specialist believed the warning and urged his superiors to treat it as such. But both this guy that actually sent it and U.S. intelligence specialists, they dismissed the report as a wild rumor. Now, I personally believe that God, in his mercy, was trying to help us see the danger, the terrible tragedy that was fixing, as they say in the Deep South, to happen if nobody paid attention. They also noticed they were tracking that year, in 1941, they were tracking the Japanese ships. And if you know anything about Pearl Harbor, it's where our Pacific Fleet is housed, okay? In Pearl Harbor. They were tracking messages off of Japanese ships. And all of a sudden, now watch this, beginning in the month of December, all of that went silent. And all of a sudden, this country who was trying to help Germany take over the world, there was nothing being said from ship to ship that they could detect in all of their ships in the Pacific, which should have been another red flag that something is happening. Political intelligence and indications of Japanese military preparations led the heads of the U.S. Army and Navy to issue a message that began, and these are the words it began with, "Consider this dispatch a war warning." And it was sent to their field and fleet commanders on November 27th, which would have been about about 2 weeks before the tragedy of Pearl Harbor ever took place. That went out. Now, I know that God is a good God. And the same God that was trying, I believe, to help us. There are a lot of philosophies and rumors that folks that knew that it was going to happen didn't send their warnings out because they knew that if it did happen, we would just be blown into World War II to help the British and the French, of course, who'd already succumbed or close to that time. Because we did not detect there were multiple warnings, things that said something very serious is about to happen. We lost 2,403 Americans, and 1,178 were wounded. 18 ships were sunk or run aground, including 5 battleships. And I believe in that Pearl Harbor memorial, we were right above the USS Arizona. There is a sacred hush that comes over people when they realize the enormity of life that was lost because people could not see, could not detect nor discern the warnings of impending disaster. Would you stand with me as we read our key verse, Romans chapter 11. So this was quickened to me today as we were seeking God. And I thought, now that's really interesting, Lord, because this is the day 75 years ago. Look at Romans 11, verse 25. Take a gander at it. Romans 11, 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." That, to me, is a very unique phrase. used by the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. And it's put in the plural. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I want to talk to you out of my heart about something that happens to all of us, and I call it blatant blindnesses. Things that God tries to get us to see before there's a disaster in our lives, before there's a disaster in our church or a disaster at work. God loves us too much to leave us alone. And much of his ministry was dedicated to opening the eyes of the blind. Sister Meadows, our prayer director, would you pray for us?
Put your salve on our eyes tonight, God. Rub it in, Lord, that when your hand pulls away, we can see clearly as we hear. Let the ear be also the pathway to the eyes. We reverence you and we reverence your word. Anoint our pastor as he speaks tonight, and I pray we would sit up and hear your word. In Jesus' name.
Let's worship him now with me. Would you praise God together? Let's praise him together for a few moments. Wonderful God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being, Lord, so faithful. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with us, God. Helping us, wooing us, calling to us, Lord. Jesus, I give you praise for your mercies. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. Thank you for your mercies. I bind the spirit of blindness. I bind blindnesses, Lord. Help us to see something that we need to see desperately in this hour, Lord. And it shall be so. And somebody shouts in Jesus' name. Would you clap to God a praise offering?
To you, Lord.
Praise God. You may be seated. I was wearing my old black leather jacket, not this dress one that I wear to service at times now when it's really cold, but my old black leather jacket. I wore it the other night, and I thought I'll just wear that, you know. So I had it on this morning when I was out praying, and I stepped in the restroom, pulled off the black leather coat, and hung it up on the hook on the door, and then I saw what looked like pizza, or it's like, what is that on my coat? I looked at it, and I ran the water, and I started patting down it was like the left arm. Looked like somebody had taken a piece of pizza and then just kind of did Scooby-Doo, you know, right down the arm. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I was in a very important place. I was in a nice place. I was with wonderful people. And nobody said anything to me about the pizza on my coat. Or whatever it was. It looked like pizza, backslidden pizza at that. This is not what I wanted to do this evening. I wanted to do just a little tiny segment and bring Angela, dynamic Angela, up and set you on fire and send us home rejoicing. And here we are talking about Pearl Harbor. As we move into a new year, God never runs out of ideas on how to introduce us to us. You might think you know you. We were sharing a scripture the other day. The heart is deceitful above all things. And not just bad, you know, like bad, but desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God in his mercies, you know, he's so good to us in that he can see the end from the beginning. Time is nothing to him. And in his mercies, he tries to tip us off. I could say to you that I could be very angry at God because he didn't tip me off about Ember's accident. I could say, you know what, I could be really upset at the Lord, but I'm not. But when I read her diaries, or when my wife reads her diaries and tells me what she wrote, I can tell that God was trying to tip her off. God is such a good God. We're not serving a mangy God. We're serving a wonderful Savior. He doesn't want to lose us in a, you know, spiritual or moral catastrophe. He doesn't want to lose us in a Pearl Harbor attack. He doesn't want to lose us or have us blindsided and taken out, as it were, of effectiveness. And so in his grace, now listen to this. I'm going to tell you about a Pentecostal preacher. Well known, he's gone on to his reward, but he was an author. Just a man that had a lot of faith and preached a lot of meetings and was well known in different parts of the world. Well known in the United States of America. But he's praying and having this major prayer meeting. And it's not a little short prayer time, and I crave for, you know, breakthroughs. Just God, just give us breakthroughs. Not only for a church, but I want to experience personal breakthroughs. I just think we're getting warmed up to what God wants to do. So he's praying and he's praying and he's praying and he's praying and he's talking in tongues and he's praying in the spirit and he's seeking God and he loses track of time and he gets in the Holy Ghost and God begins to show some things to him. And so when you read his writings, you will find the story that he got to a certain point in his prayer time where the Spirit of God began to talk to him about even the future. His future. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost came down and showed him something that his son would go through in 2 years. He would not have known that. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a revelatory God. We serve a revealing God. He has light. The Bible says that he has light saved up for the righteous. He has light for us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He has light and understanding to give us. He knows what lies ahead. And I've come to the conclusion in some humble way that just like there were a number of elements and voices and intelligence officers trying to warn our nation that an attack was incoming. Even so, the same God who tried to get some of our eyes open so that we could really prepare, it caught us totally just flat-footed. As a matter of fact, it was so devastating, it took us years to bounce back, war years, to bounce back. We ended up in a war, but we were so blindsided at Pearl Harbor that the ships and the men that we lost, it took us years to bounce back. I want to tell you this, God is operative. He's actionable. You live in him and walk in him and you're going to find yourself doing stuff that you might not be able to fully explain. But God is an actionable God. He's a functional God. He's up and he's at it. Praise God. I like to think of him as a blue collar Jesus. He knows what lies in the future. I believe that when Sister Peggy spoke to us about things that could be coming and Trump and others talk about us living in a bubble, what do we do when the bubble pops? I don't think that God wants us to live up to that time and then, oh, you know what? We probably should do something here to prepare for that. He wants to warn us. I believe the things that are coming will be part of the conviction of God. the upsetting of sinners, the upsetting of processes and industries and so on to get people's attention to a word from God. He is a smart God. He is a wise God. And if we'll live in him, he loves to show his servants things to come. And this man was praying and praying, and then he prayed some more. He caught his breath and he prayed some more, and then all of a sudden, in the midst of a prayer meeting like that, and I'd like to say to you, how long has it been since we've had that kind of prayer meeting where God brought us revelation concerning our family or our future? All of a sudden, in the Holy Ghost, the Lord showed him in 2 years that his son would go through a very difficult time and that he was to prepare for that and be ready for that. There are things that God wants to show us if we're willing to lean into him and listen. 2 years later, he remembered. Of course, he remembered. And 2 years later, when his son came into probably the storm of his life, this Pentecostal preacher, this fire-breathing, tongue-talking Pentecostal preacher, was totally prepared. He had his boy ready. He had himself ready. And instead of this trauma, this particular challenging experience, we'll call it, this thing that happened to his boy, instead of it causing him to backslide, God used it to help him, and his son became a pastor and a preacher and an author in his own right, and a man gifted in the Spirit to help and minister to others. Would you lift your hands and thank the Lord that he loves us like that? Praise God that there's light and there's understanding, and there are things, there's stuff that God wants to help us see. There are blatant, you know, I just call them blatant blindnesses. Like, it's not that we're, you know, blind, in all areas. Because notice it says here, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery," Romans 11:25, "lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." It's always pride that shuts down understanding. It's always arrogance that shuts down understanding. God has nothing to say to the proud. And the apostle writes this under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, "lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." That blindness in part. So there it is. It's like you might see, you know, like when you're driving. How did that person hit you? How did you hit them? It was that blind spot, not that blind state. Understand? It was a little area where between your eyes and your mirrors and so on. And I've got, thank you, Lord, for my Ford Edge. Thank you, John, for encouraging me to get a Ford Edge. Lately, I've had some challenges, but it wasn't the car's fault. It was some mechanics that didn't use original parts, okay? But anyway, it's got a little beeper when you're backing up. And beep, 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 you're getting close to something. Beep, 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 you're getting close to another car. Beep, 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 beep. Like, you better stop right then. You know, because you're going to have a little conference with an officer and another car owner, and it will be the fact that you backed into that vehicle, okay? And I just see, I'm wondering if maybe perhaps there are unconscious to us. See, as we come into a new year, Jasmine, good to see you. Praise the Lord. Now you've been busy, got jobs and so on, but it's good to see you. Praise God. And you, Brother Aaron, and Justice and Jesse all had their birthdays, and I can't believe they're all growing up, and God help us in Jesus' name. But here we are in December. This is what I'm saying to people, Cody. Who stole my year? Who kidnapped my year? Does anybody feel that way? How fast that time has flown. We are in the midst of a flow. There is something good happening. We're kidding. And thanks to all our good men. And we're looking forward, Bob, to an awesome men's breakfast. There's some wonderful things happening in this equipment. I can't even, if I go there, I might not get done, you know. But this equipment is mind-boggling, this sound equipment and this system that this new board, I think it's called that soundboard. I don't even know the words that they use. It's so high tech, it's beyond my vocabulary. I just know it sure works nice. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I was challenged in prayer to get up and challenge you that just as there were people who were trying to get America to see that we were close to an attack, I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to help us pick an area in our life where we know there's a blind spot. You know, like, if we can, you know, understand that. Every time I back up, I understand. You know, there I don't see totally, and now all these seats, you know, that come up with the little headrest, or, you know, and now it looks like, if you look through the back window, through the car, it looks like there's six or eight people, you know, riding in that car, and it's just one person with five other headrest things, you know, I mean, it's different, and your windows are tinted, and so when I'm backing up, I realize I don't see everything behind me. Not like I should. And all these, and remember that Lexus that had the little camera, and some of you have a vehicle that has a camera where you can look at the camera, and it's a camera there off of your fender or something above it, and it shows you as you're backing up, where you're going. And I want to challenge you, how much time do you think we have left? There are, right now, you know, God is so smart, He doesn't hire one voice. He hires a cacophony of voices, situations, conditions, even illnesses can preach to us. Sicknesses can sermonize to us. Everything God can make a servant if He so chooses. But He has things about us that He wants us to see, not to make us feel bad, but to help us grow. Because we will never grow in an area of blindness until we acknowledge that blindness. We are largely unconscious of glaring areas. I don't know what you do in your prayer life, but I really, you know, God knows everything. He knows us so well. And don't be afraid of this. He's not going to show you everything about you that He wants to change, because He doesn't want to give you an ulcer. That's right. He doesn't want to give you a heart attack. But I promise you, this wise God who tried to tip us off, I believe through different voices, that there was impending disaster, is trying to tip the rest of us off on a smaller plane and in articulate, specific levels, stuff that He wants to touch and change, and I call them blatant blindnesses. What does a thief do when he wants to break into a house? Well, there's a watchdog, and he barks really loud, and so the thief poisons the watchdog. He might, and of course now almost everything is cell phones, but he might cut the phone lines. He might dismantle the alarm system that some homes have. What's he trying to do? He doesn't want anybody to hear a warning. Everything is just fine. We parked our car in a restaurant that was so appealing, Rhonda, in the humble city of Indianapolis, JD, your old stomping ground. Of course, you got a lot of them now, but that's one of them. Gets around a lot. He's our globetrotter, praise God. And when we pulled up, I thought the door I was looking at was the front door. We got out, we locked up, we were just coming back from this ceremony dedicating training site at Horizon Pharma to Amber's name and Stefan. And then when I got up to the building, I realized, uh-oh, this is not the front door, this is the side door. And I literally turned and looked back at the vehicle and thought, oh, I probably should repark the car because this is the side door and I should have done it. It was the Lord tipping me off. I went in. We had an amazing lunch, only to come out to discover that the back window had been busted into thousands of pieces, and suitcases stolen, and iPads stolen. And it's taken us months to recover and recoup. I turned on my tracker. I've never used this before. I'm not a real techie. I just hang out with them once in a while. And I tracked my iPad to a restaurant, and I thought, I'm going in there. Praise God. And I'm going to use the fivefold ministry of the church. Teasing. You know, the thumb, four fingers, fivefold ministry of the church. They didn't really want me to go after it because it was a dangerous thing. You don't know if they've got a knife, got a weapon, got a gun, so on. There was a guy that saw this fellow driving in front of him, throwing suitcases out the door, and throwing iPads out the door. Anyway, we spent hours, and now we've spent months. But the Holy Ghost touched my brain, thought of thoughts, huh? Who could ever like think? And as I started to go in the restaurant, I stopped and I pivoted and I looked back, and that was God saying, bring your vehicle around the front and you'll be just fine. And I overrode that. I just overrode it. And it's taken us a good chunk of this year to recoup and recover. And some of it we never did recover. I'm challenging you tonight. This was not on my docket. But in your life, there is a blatant blindness somewhere. I don't mean, you know, I'm not talking about a list of your faults. You got so many giftings. I'm looking at gifted people. I'm looking at gifted people. You could say amen. I mean, you know, I'm building you up. I'm looking at gifted people, awesome people. I love coming to church. I love the worship that we feel here. And these powerhouses on Sunday. And some of them, of course, at work tonight. But I'm telling you that God's hand is on our church. Brother Manley said there is an anointing on this church. That's what he said. Did you hear him say that? There's an anointing on this church. And I wanted to tell him later, bro, you should see us after a Saturday night prayer meeting. If you think that after not having church for almost a week and no Saturday night prayer meeting, you could feel an anointing on our church, you ought to be here after we have one of those prayer meetings on Saturday night and then come Sunday and see if you can feel an anointing. Come on, lift your hand and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God raises up. God raises up. He raises up a mentor. He raises up. He doesn't want us to be caught, to be sidelined or... Well, you know one of the things I like about iPhones? The alerts. How do people tell me on a regular basis, oh man, I didn't remember. I totally forgot. Do you have a smartphone? Even my Android, I've got to be so careful. I had bizarre experiences with Android. And we have Android users here, and may God bless you and heal you and, you know, encourage you and enlighten you on how to work with that demon. I mean, that phone, praise God. But the alerts... Simple alerts. There are calendar alerts. I got a little free app. It's an alert app, and I use both of them. And sometimes I got alerts coming from one app and alerts coming from my calendar app, and it's awesome. It's little things. And then I had to change I had this weird sound on this basic alert, you know. And it did this several little like, it's like, man, that's about to give me a nervous condition. And I'd be in a restaurant, and all of a sudden it'd go off. And then, of course, it has the repeat function in case I missed it the first time. And I don't know how you missed that the first time. If your hair wasn't white, it turned white, just trying to rebound and recover from the sound. And what I'm saying is, We have alerts built in, and the only reason why they work is because I have prepared this to alert me. I have prepared it to alert me. I've set it up. God's going to come to us. He's been visiting us this year. I believe he wants to come to us in December in a special way and a special measure. And I also think that there's a place... There's a spot. Has anybody ever studied Greek mythology, Greek history? You've heard the term Achilles' heel. That is his Achilles' heel. Achilles, the famous Greek warrior. The story was he was like baptized or dipped in this famous river, and they had to hold him by his heel, so the only thing that didn't get covered by the water was his heel. And so as a warrior, that became his Achilles. He was protected everywhere, but his heel, where he had been held while they dunked him in the river, became his Achilles heel. And that expression became known as that thing in your life, that the one thing, it doesn't take a bunch of them, but the one thing, it could be substance abuse. God forbid. It could be addictions. It could be tendencies. Does anybody remember Pastor talking about Jesus was not only crucified at Calvary for our sins, he was crucified for our tendencies. Many of us move about not under a protective covering. I just want to tell you this. The Holy Ghost wants to give you some information. He wants to give us light. He wants to protect us. He is not blessed. His kingdom is not necessarily furthered when we miss his alerts. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Listen to this from Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. You see that? It comes out of the vanity of the mind. Pride always shuts down revelation. Arrogance always turns the lights off. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, it's very possible for me to walk into a Holy Ghost filled service and it can be rocking in here, and it does rock in here. Don't you enjoy the worship services? And we can be touched by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, and still allow a certain blatant blindness to prevail in some corner or nook or cranny. Something that seems the devil, this is what, you know, the devil deals in illusions, right? How many of you have been to the circus where when you walk into a room? Thank you, Lord, for these music. Thank you for these music. Thank you for Hosanna, Lord. Appreciate these smartphones so much. Maybe that's why some places collect all the smartphones, you know, right at the beginning of the service. Here we are in a Holy Ghost service. Rocking, moving, juking and jiving. And there are people that go home, and when you say, what did he preach on? All they can say is, I think it was the platform. I'm sure it was the platform. What I'm saying is, I'm teasing here tonight, totally teasing. But Am I hearing? See, if our nation did not hear, did not receive it, did not, if they played with that information and didn't take it seriously, there were voices that were saying the Imperial Japanese Navy is headed for Pearl Harbor, and it's going to be a tragedy that could have been averted. For instance, for all the Japanese ship signals to go silent right in the beginning of the month of December should have been enough of a tip-off. For these representatives from Japan were starting to act a little strange in Washington, representing their country in Washington, and they were getting ready to sign off and disappear out of Washington, D.C. I'm saying to you, is it possible? See, the pride issue, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Go back and look at Romans 11:25, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part. Blindness comes out of conceit. Well, I'm talented. Well, I'm anointed. We got so much talent here. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hand if you think there's some talent here. I mean, really, talent and anointing. And if we're not careful, the praise and the good words, thank God, we want to be an encouraging church, don't we? We can miss something that the Spirit of God wants us to identify. Like blatant weakness, as in blatant blindness, as in something that is blatant because everybody else can see it, but you can't. Everybody else can see it, but I can't, because it's personal and particular and definitive to me. And so he uses voices. You know, this is one of the reasons why I want to thank the Lord for our elders. Amen. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the elders. Thank you, God, for the elders in my life. And please continue to pray for Brother Cisco. He is an elder. He's an icon. He's called the bishop. But I've had him speak into my life. He still does. He said some things to me several months ago when we came into this tragic time. Thank you, God, for the elders. Are you aware? Okay, let me ask a question. Just because we're in a robust place where there's liberty here to share our hearts. Do you feel like there's an area, a quadrant, a niche, a place in your heart that God has put his finger on, his hand on, and said, I want to heal you right here? Lift your hand. I'm thinking of things that I want the Lord to do in my own heart. Raise your hands together with me. Jesus, let there be light this evening, Lord. You are my light, Lord. You are my light. Jesus, you are understanding. You are made to us understanding, Lord. We want to grow, and we want to grow coming into a new year, Lord. Are there things in us that we've permitted because we got used to them? Has the watchdog been poisoned and the phone lines cut and no alerts sound anymore because the sound's turned off? Reminders and alerts and sounds and cacophony that tries to come to help us be on our tippy toes. Praise God. I am so glad for the voices of people that have spoken into my life. Blatant blindnesses. Years ago, I'm almost done. Years ago, we were in Chicago. It must have been winter time. I think it was. Because we caught a sail. Wool coats. And we were having winters. And those of you that have lived in Wisconsin know that winter is part of their industry. Usually they run 200 to 300, 250. Beautiful wool coats. I bought three of them. Why? $50 a piece. I still have them. And Amber, I got one of those coats out and I was putting it on. It's a beautiful rust and it's a beautiful wool coat. And here's two holes right here. It's like, are you kidding me? This was my favorite coat. You know, winter coat. Two holes. It couldn't be down, you know, underneath the sleeve or down underneath the corner of the coat, you know, or right here. Two holes. Listen to this. Isaiah wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit, 51 and verse 8, "For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever." And my salvation from generation to generation. It's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. And it is possible, so humongously possible, for a moth. You know, I got these little peppermints that I give the kids. Now listen to this. You don't hear this when you hear it, when a moth is at work. Hey! There's a moth working, undermining, destroying my beautiful wool coat. You don't hear, you know, clomping, chomping the moth. You get up in the night. What is that sound? And you run over to your closet and you hear this. Oh man, this is great wool. Kind of chocolate covered, you know, colored or rust. Maybe there's a rust chocolate out there. I really like wool coats. And look at all these wool coats, man. I've hit the mother load. Nobody. You just, oh, I'm going to put that coat on. I had it tonight out. I'm going to put it on. We're going to go to church because we are a holy people. Oh, yeah. And then I look down and holes. Still chewing on my peppermint. You don't hear the moth chomping, do you? He used that, and he also, again, in different places, referred to the action of the moth to refer to a process that could happen in us. It's silent. It's not loud. There are no alerts. There's no beep, 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 you're backing up. There's no reminders. There are no warnings to tell us that we've got at work in us something that's not just a blindness. It's a blatant blindness because everybody can see it, but we can't. With every heart open and eye closed, if we'd soften the lights in Jesus' name. Just as they tried to warn us. And God bless our veterans. My mom and dad both were involved in World War II. And I know that there probably are veterans here and others that we have in our area and in our lives. God bless these veterans that put their lives on the line. But there were warnings that went out. There are ways that God tries to speak to us. Sometimes they aren't fancy, and sometimes they aren't loud. The scriptures talks about the still small voice. Five distinctive warnings that Pearl Harbor was indeed going to happen, and nobody seemed to take it seriously. I would like you to accept a challenge, because I wanted to operate in my heart, and that is, God, as I come into this new year, I don't want patches of darkness operating in my life. I don't want to serve you part-time. I don't want to be partly yours and partly the world's. I want to be all yours. Does anybody feel that way? I mean, really. Praise God. Jesus, we ask you, oh God, it's been a lot of services, God, where we put on the hard hat and we heard amazing teachers speak to us out of their hearts, out of where they live. My mind goes back to so many things that I heard and great notes that we took. Things, insights, and wisdom statements left us. A people that operate in their domain, and they found victory operating out of their own spiritual authenticity. Lord God, as we just fill this room with some beautiful worship music, praise the Lord, and we just take a few moments, I promise you, there's some niche, some corner, some place where the moth has eaten little holes to render the garment useless or your life full, you know, of holes, full of vacancies, full of emptiness. While in other parts, you see, it isn't like a consummate blindness where we're blind in everything. We see in many quadrants. It was blindness in part that happened. It was like a specific kind. It was like, you know, it's like we might have great insight when it comes to love and affection and be totally blind when it comes to how to handle our finances. We might be financially gifted and we have great understanding there and be relationally a train wreck because of little pockets of blindness. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your awesome people. Thank you for loving us and being so patient with us, Lord. You didn't throw us away. You didn't, you know, toss us on the trash heap. You didn't exit our lives when things got tough, Lord. You were always there. You were always there. Thank you, God. Lord, would you shine on us? Would you shine on us your light? And God, as we navigate these weeks of holiday and family and special occasions, would you prep us and prepare us to grow in an area where we're challenged, to grow, Lord, in a corner, in a niche, or the voice of a mentor, the voice of the Spirit, and the Word of God can intersect and help us to the next level. I worship you, Lord. Why don't we thank him and love him? He's such a good God. Would you love him? Hallelujah. Shall we praise him? Thank you, God. Thank you for shedding light. Light is laid up in store for the righteous, Lord. You've stockpiled light. You've stockpiled revelation. You've laid up insight for us, Lord. There have been voices that have challenged us, God, in if it was a difficult day or a weak day or an exhausting day, maybe we resisted that revelation or that insight. You have come again to bless us and help us and give us mercy and strength and help and hope, Lord, in every segment and quadrant of our life, Lord. We invite you. Would you do that with me right now, Lord? I invite you into my thoughts. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my affections. I invite you, Lord. I want you to fill me up, Lord, with you. I want you. I desire you. I'm thankful. I am thankful for your hand and touch on my life. God, we are here by the grace of God. We are here by the goodness of Jesus. We are here because you're merciful and patient and persistent. And Lord, we owe you. God, we're so blessed. We are debtors. We are so blessed, Lord. Want to grow? Are you trying to challenge us to grow, Jesus? Are you trying to say that maybe somewhere in some little niche there's a darkness patch? There's a place where if your light could come there, it would dispel the darkness and we could see and understand the whys and the wherefores and the functionality of areas that have challenged us. Hallelujah. Would you love him with me? Would you love him with me? Would you love him? Would you love him with me? Would you love him? Would you love him with me?